Chapter 10. Ever After. The sun drew near to rising. The Black Heart's court was gathered, and Dual's heart was beating so hard it seemed set to burst out of her throat. The monsters watched her as she passed through the Hall of Plenty, clad in silk and velvet, white as olden snows, rain silent at her side. Nikita's lords were glutting themselves in one final feast before the coming battle, the iron and copper of fresh blood staining the air. The minstrels were playing a lively tune, and two scorched were battling for the court's amusement, starving prisoners stripped down to loincloths and hewing at each other with blunt knives. Other folk were strung up from the ceiling, throats opened like saints' day gifts, and spilled into brimming goblets by the maids below. Kiara stood alone against one wall, the wolf mother shunned by her fellows, where once they'd shown her ruckus, bloody praise. Storm clouds were gathered at her brow as she glanced toward her father, but Nikita ignored her completely, intent upon Dior. Kane sat with the Dragan and Alex, Lily's children, whispering among themselves, reveling in their cousin's humiliation. Lily herself reclined on her throne above it all, clad in her gown of blood-red silk, goat horns curling at her brow. Prince lay beside his mistress, the wolf's ice-blue eye fixed on the princess and Grail as they approached. For her part, Dior never took her gaze off the heartless, lips curling in a shy smile as she drew near. She played the part of the besotted lover with all her grifter's guile, but by the hammering of her pulse beneath our wings, we knew she thought only of the plan, the death blow, that with fortune would fall this very day. Gillian and Morgana need only saw the silvered swords from the mothermaid's crypt below, and then it was simply a matter of waiting for the time to strike. Gabriel had faith in her. Phoebe also, a whole army beside them. And blood-drunk as they were, these fiends must sleep sometime. Gilly and Morgana and Lady Arlin stood at Lily's back as always, resplendent in gowns of green velvet brocade. Declan and Mehron waited among Nikita's scorched, gathered behind the Black Heart's throne. All studiously ignored her, playing their roles to perfection. To stumble here was to die, and all knew it. Aaron loomed at Nikita's right hand, swathed in black silk and pale majesty. As Dior glanced to him, we caught a glimmer of red in his lashes, as if he were close to tears. But the Capitaine kept his expression hard as stone as Dior and Rain reached those thrones and curtsied. "Mistress," they murmured, heads bowed, and turning to Nikita, "Count Divok." Lily glowered at Rain. "Tardy as ever, worm." "Apologies, mistress," Rain said, dipping lower. "I humbly beg your forgiveness." "Beg as thou wilt. I've a mind to feed you to those savages outside."
"The fault is mine, mistress."
Dior sank to her knees, gazing on Lily as a poet to her muse.
"I only wished to look my best for you. I want only to please you."
Lily's fury cooled then, ever so slight, black eyes roaming Dior's gown. A small cheer went up in the background as one scorched, blooded the other with his shank, red, spraying on black stone. The heartless glanced to Rain, picking at the carved armrest of her throne with one long claw. "Forgiveness I grant thee," she growled. "Thank thy God we have more pressing business this night than to break thee into pieces."
"Merci, my mistress."
Rain swallowed hard, pulse thumping harder.
"Merci."
The princess took her place in the shadows. Duel knelt at Lily's right hand, looking out over that sea of kith, the brawling thralls. Only an hour remained until the sun rose, and for all Nikita's bloodlords knew, the Black Lion and his Highlanders came with it. Despite the feast put on for them by their priori, we could see tension writ on every face, disquiet in every stare. All save Nikita's, that is, his lip curling now as he glanced to his sibling.
"Too forgiving of thy pet's ineptitudes, sister," he murmured. "Too attached thou art become, methinks. Whatever shall ye do when forced to give her up?"
"I shall obey the will of my priori," the heartless replied, studiously avoiding her brother's gaze, "and curse that same fool who let this prize slip through his fingers." Nikita chuckled then, sipping from his goblet of blood.
"Ye defy me still."
"I defy thee not," Lily murmured, voice low, features calm. "I simply say we can win through this day without handing our treasures to the Voss."
"Thy years of military experience lead thee to this conclusion."
"Common sense leads me to this conclusion," she hissed. "At the very least, we control the Gulf of Wolves. Dragan's fleet awaits below."
She nodded to her broodson, still consorting with Alex and Kane.
"Be thou so afeard, brother. We could quit this for
afeard."
A soft murmur rippled among the court as the Blackheart rose to his feet.
"Afeard!"
The minstrels fell silent, the battling thralls still, dreadful quiet settling over the hall as the echoes of Nikita's roar rang on the walls.
"Tell me I fear," he spat, glowering at his sibling. "When ye propose we tuck tail and run from the city we bled to conquer, we are Divok. We balk not at the yapping of a handful of flea-struck Highland hounds."
"Thou art correct, of course, priori," Lily said, still not meeting his eyes. "We should instead hand the Holy Grail of San Michon to Fabian Voss and his viper daughters, all three of whom shall sink fangs into thy throat the second they are given opportunity."
"Oh, ye see so far, Lily," Nikita snarled, dropping into a mocking bow. "So much farther than dull Nikita. How blessed are we to have a sibling so learned, so wise."
And turning to his thrall swords, Nikita stabbed his finger at their line.
"You, come hither."
It was Mehron he pointed to, young Gillian's bow.
To his credit, the young knight didn't blink, didn't flinch, striding forward with adoring eyes fixed on his laird and smacking a fist against his black steel breastplate.
"My master," he said, "unsheath thy blade."
The lad obeyed, steel ringing crisp in the rafters. All in the hall now watched this drama unfolding, Dior's heart beating quicker as she risked a glance to Rain. And turning to the sword maids gathered behind Lily's throne, Nikita beckoned to Gillian.
"Come hither, child," he smiled.
Now, Lady Gillian was bound to Lily, historian, not her brother. And despite the danger of disobedience, the maid threw an inquiring glance to her mistress. Lily pinched the bridge of her nose, as if wearied by these antics, the threat of another tantrum.
"What be thy game, Nikita?"
Aye, a game, call it."
He smiled, gesturing to Dior.
"If Nikita shall pay so dear for this lip's parlour tricks, The very least she might do is entertain him with them.
He glowered at Gillian again, black eyes burning.
Come hither.
The Black Heart's whip rang on the stone, and the young sword maid obeyed, stepping down the dais to stand before Nikita and her betrothed. Morgana watched her older sister, paling beneath her freckles. Gillian's breath was coming swifter, pupils wide as she looked her beau in the eye. And as if ordering a snifter of port after supper, Nikita spoke a simple command.
Run her through.
An eternity, that moment. Dior's heart froze still. All in Lily's retinue held their breath. God only knows what went through that young man's mind. To look into the eyes of the girl he loved, and know if he disobeyed, all would be lost. Not just her, but the conspiracy entire, and his conspirators beside. But the Grail's blood had the power to heal the wounded. And Nikita had said this was only a game. Eyes pleading, Gillian nodded ever so slight, bidding her love to strike. God's sakes, strike! And with his face utterly bloodless, Mehron obeyed as would any thrall his master, driving his sword into his betrothed's body as her baby sister screamed, Chilly! Be silent, Lily snapped, scowling over her shoulder. Morgana watched her sister wilt, slithering to her knees. Her bow hadn't struck to kill. He'd not been commanded to, after all. Instead, driving his blade into Gillian's belly, where the pain might be worse, but the danger less. Gasping in agony, Gillian pressed red hands to her stomach, as her bow dragged his blade free. Dior was already stepping up to heal her when Nikita's eyes fell upon her.
I did not bid thee move, girl.
The Grail glanced to Gillian, pulse thrashing beneath her skin.
Forgive me, lad. I thought ye...
Fear naught. Nikita smiled, waving her away. In time, child. You,
he said, turning to his thrall swords and pointing now at Declan.
Come hither.
The young knight strode forward to stand beside his trembling brother, thumping a fist against his breastplate. Mehron was pale as ghosts, eyes locked on the sweetheart he'd just stabbed, the pool of her blood slowly creeping toward his boots. The Black Heart looked from Declan to Mehron.
This thy brother, aye,
my master.
Good.
Nikita smiled, waving between the pair.
Run him through.
The boys looked at each other, eyes gone wide and cold, another moment as long as forever. Here was strife, historian, sure and true. For all of Nikita's guard wore heavy breastplates and shirts of threefold mail. Even a thrall would struggle to drive a longblade through plated steel. And while young Declan might pierce his brother's mail under the arm or at the throat, that would spell a far quicker death than a blade to the belly. Declan looked to his laird.
His armour, master.
Here, let me help thee,
Nikita cooed, and glancing to Mehron, he smiled gently.
On thy knees, boy.
Master.
Eyes still on his brothers, Mehron sank now to the stone. All the Black Heart's court had fallen so still, I swear we could hear the song of distant pipes on the howling wind. Ignoring the frantic beating of our wings on her skin, Dior stepped forward, fingers curling to helpless fists. But Nikita's head snapped up, predatory, his voice whipping the air.
Stay!
He raised a warning finger, as if daring she disobey.
Stay,
he repeated, softer now. It was Dior's intervention that spared poor Declan the agony of decision. His brother, seizing hold of his blade and pressing its point to the joint of shoulder and neck. Their eyes locked. Mehron nodded, glancing to Dior in a silent plea. And then he gritted his teeth, dragging that blade into his own flesh, helping his brother drive the point home. Declan was gasping for breath, near to vomiting as he pulled his sword free. His brother's blood welled up in a flood, spurting rhythmically across Mehron's skin as the young gallant withered at Nikita's feet. Gillian groaned, reaching out to her bow with a bloody hand, pressing it to his gushing wound and looking first to Dior, then to Lily. Mistress?
What be this foolishness, Nikita?
Lily asked.
Have we so many swords, ye may squander them the very hour afore battle?
Fear naught, he smiled. A game, as ye say, soon played out.
He looked to Dior then, black eyes glittering, as if daring her to move. But the Grail remained motionless, as if in the grip of his power, speaking only through clenched teeth.
My lad...
Silence! Nikita snapped, looking now to Morgana. You, come hither!
There was no bond of blood between the sword maid and the ancient, merely the fear that now dripped from the very walls. But glancing to Rain, young Morgana obeyed, trembling as she stepped before the Laird Divok and curtsied. Dior was sheened in sweat now, her pulse unmoored. She looked to Aaron, but the Capitaine avoided her eyes, jaw clenched tight, hair gleaming gold in that dying light. Nikita took Declan's sword from the boy's numb hands, handed it to his betrothed.
Run him through.
Morgana blanched, turning to Lily.
Mistress?
Look not at her, Nikita roared. Look at me.
Morgana obeyed, knuckles gone white on the hilt of that bloody blade. We saw a glimmer of mad possibility in her eyes then. The question, what if, surfacing brief in the sword maid's mind, before sanity returned. Fear for her princess, her sister, for all that would be undone if she struck this beast drenched in the blood of centuries, and failed.
Brother,
Lily sighed, utterly exasperated.
Be there reason in this madness?
There be a lesson.
In what, pray tell, blooding the floors?
Indulge me.
The black heart bowed low, hand to heart.
Such gifts, such insight, such counsel hast thou given, sweet sister. What be one gift more to thy feeble brother, who doth owe thee, oh, so much?
He gestured to Morgana, fangs agleam at the corners of his smile.
Pray, bid thy blooded servant obey me. A game, sister, all a game.
Lily pursed her lips, running one claw over her chin. Morgana stood paralyzed, terrified stare switching between her beloved and her princess and her mistress. Rain's face was white as ghosts, agony welling in her failing eyes. Dior hung like a broken mirror, every part of her a-tremble, our wings upon her skin like same. We'd no idea what sport Nikita sought here, but to have plucked four members of the conspiracy by chance.
Do as he commands thee, child,
Lily said. Nikita smiled at Morgana, Vulpine, gesturing to Declan.
Run him through.
Morgana obeyed,
thrusting her sword at her beloved. Declan had turned himself sideways, exposing the gap in the fore and aft of his breastplate, and the blade sank through the chainmail and into his gut. Morgana's face twisted, Declan gasping as he sank to the stone beside his brother, red gushing over the flagstones, pooling in the cracks. Nikita placed one pale hand on Morgana's shoulder, took the bloody sword from her hand.
"Good child," he cooed. "Very good."
And with a snarl, he flung the girl across the room. Morgana struck the wall with a shriek, a wet crack, blood spattering on the stone. Rain screamed her name, Lady Arlin seizing her princess's hand, blue eyes locked on Nikita. In a blinking, the Blackheart had flashed up to Dior, his face now inches from hers, all midnight eyes and blood-red lips and pearl-white fangs.
"Words to gift us, hast thou?"
Dior clenched her jaw, swallowed hard. To speak, even to move, would be to show Nikita's gifts had no power over her. But to stand here meek and silent.
"No, say ye nothing at all."
Dior met Nikita's eyes, teeth creaking as she clenched her jaw to still her tongue. We could see the darkness in his gaze, the murders untallied, the endless plains of unmarked graves. A monster who had destroyed a kingdom to sit now as its king. Nikita pressed the bloody sword into Dior's hands, leaning so close his lips brushed hers.
"Then we shall keep playing, child."
He turned to the dais, patting his thigh and whistling.
"Worm, come hither."
Lily sighed. "Nikita."
"Fear not, fear not. This sport is near its end."
Rain's eyes were fixed on Dior's, muscle knotted at her jaw. She crossed the bloodied stone, all of Nikita's court watching, hungry eyes glittering like the embers of a dying fire. Gillian and Declan and Mehron lay in a widening puddle of red, the reek of blood and sundered bowel strung thick in the air. Morgana was crumpled in ruins where she'd been tossed, impossible to tell if the maid was dead or alive. Nikita hooked one claw beneath the princess's chin now, peering into those cold, failing eyes.
"Look at her."
Rain obeyed, gaze falling on Dior, not a tear nor tremble in sight. The princess Amergen did as she was bid, not to obey, mind you, but to protect those others who depended on this lie, no matter how slender the thread of hope now frayed. The Grail glanced again to Aaron, anguish welling in his eyes along with bloody tears. Her gaze pleaded with him, silent, begging, but ever so slight. The Capitaine shook his head.
"Look at me, girl."
Dior turned back to Nikita, lurking now over Rain's shoulder. The Blackheart's cheek was pressed against the princess's, eyes deep as the dark between the stars.
"I made her mother scream before her end."
Nikita ran one sharp claw down Rain's cheek, too gentle to even scratch the skin.
"But at least the mighty Nine Swords died fighting. We found this one cowering in a grain silo like a worm, and so we named her."
Nikita exerted gentle but inexorable pressure on Rain's shoulders, forcing her to her knees before the Grail. The vampire sank down with the girl, lifting the bloody blade in Dior's hand and resting the point against Rain's breast. Dior still played the role, obeying as if under Nikita's power, not talking, not moving.
"And now this worm dies on her knees."
Black eyes flickered up to the Grails.
Unless thou hast some protest to speak.
Prince had risen to his feet, the wolf's hackles rising as the Contessa shouted,
Nikita, enough! She cannot speak if thou hast whipped her into silence!
The Black Heart raised one brow, still watching Dior.
Nothing at all.
The Grail stood still as stone, blade poised in her hand.
Run her through.
Dior drew back the sword, blade steadied on her free palm for the strike, eyes fixed on Reins. Lily again shouted,
Nikita!
Prince snarled, fangs bared, but the Black Heart only glanced toward his sister and smiled. And in that moment, Dior struck. We knew now this was a game to him, and surely so did she. Another torment dreamed up in the mind of a monster. The conspiracy was somehow undone. All hope had crumbled now to ash, all prayers unanswered, save perhaps this last desperate one. And so, dragging her palm down that sword's razored edge, the Grail drenched the blade with her holy blood and plunged it toward Nikita's twisted heart. Quick as flies, Nikita smashed the blade from her grip, Dior screaming in fury and pain as she clutched her wrist. The bloodied blade sang as it struck the floor, and Nikita rose like a serpent, seizing Dior's throat and hauling her off the stone. As the court clambered to their feet, roaring, Rain lunged for the fallen sword, but effortless, Nikita kicked the princess aside. Flying as if she were rags and stuffing, Rain struck the dais, her skull smashed as she hit the stone. Dior screamed in hatred, flailing in the Black Heart's grip, Prince snarling his fury as Lily rose to her feet and roared,
Nikita, hold!
Dior grabbed the ancient's wrist with her bleeding hand, and with a howl of pain, Nikita dropped her, his own hand bursting into bright flames. The Grail struck the floor with a crunch, the Black Heart bellowing, and stooping low, Arlin, Lady of Feinwatch, first of the Lady Rain's household, snatched up the blade anointed with Dior's blood. Long had that old swordmaid suffered the indignity of surrender to these fiends, forced to humiliate the princess she had sworn sacred oath to serve. And every drop of her fury rang in her cry as she plunged that sword toward Nikita's heart. But though the old maid's form would have put many a man to shame, alas, her foe was no simple man. Her wrist crunched like the bones of a baby bird as he seized it. Blood sizzled and flesh hissed as Nikita plunged his flaming hand through Arlin's ribs, extinguishing the blaze on his skin inside her chest. Laird Bran bellowed with terrible fury, the old soldier charging to his bride's defence, naked steel in his hand. But Arryn struck then, stepping between Bran and his beloved master, his greatsword slicing the old laird clean in two. Blood sprayed as Nikita tore Arlin's heart from its moorings, and the sword maid near in half. And with black hand dripping red, the ancient turned on Dior. The Grail had crawled to Rain's side, pressing bloody hands to the princess's broken skull, smudging her holy blood over the girl's waxen skin. Eyes locked on hers, Nikita stomped on Declan's head, popping it like a waterskin. Brains dashed on the flagstones. Dior screamed as he did the same to Mehron, to Gillian, her throat torn hoarse and bleeding as she called him pig, animal, bastard, monster. Boots dripping red, Nikita stalked toward her, burned hand curled into a claw as he reached for her throat. With a flash of white, a low snarl, Prince came to the Grail's defence, standing between the pair and snapping at Nikita's outstretched hand. The Black Heart drew back for one second, seethed forward in the next.
Snatching the beast by the scruff, he hauled it skyward, claws poised before the wolf's snarling face.
Send thee to thy mother moons, little prince, or merely take thy other eye. Nikita, stop it! Lily roared.
The Count Divok turned eyes to his sister then, all in the room gone silent. He cast Prince aside, the wolf yelping as it crunched into the stone, skidding through the slick of gore. The Black Heart and the Heartless stared at each other, Nikita's sneer spattered red.
Name me fool, sister. Think me sightless. Speak to me as thou wouldst a child. Yet thou art so blind, ye cannot see the nest of vipers coiled at thy breast.
What nest? Of what madness dost thou speak?
Treachery, he spat. Betrayal. All these here, unbound, their red shackles broke by this brat's accursed blood.
Lily's black eyes narrowed, falling now on Dior.
She meant to murder thee, Lily, Nikita said, and I beside thee. The pair of us burned in our beds, gods undone by insects.
How did you know?
Dior looked at the vampire, hissing.
How could you?
Treasure.
Nikita's call rang in the rafters, lips curling ever so slight as he met Dior's eyes.
Hither come, beloved.
A figure stepped into the silent hall through a servant's door, clad in a long, beautiful gown. She strode through the monsters and the spreading pool of gore, blood crusted under her fingernails and splashing on her shoes, adoring gaze fixed on her laird. And Dior's eyes flooded with tears as she whispered,
Isla.
The girl walked to Nikita's side, and the vampire caressed her skin, smiling as he cupped her cheek. A bundle of cloth was gathered in Isla's arms, Dior's heart hammering as we recognized the furs from her bed. And unwrapping them, the girl tossed the iron saw onto the floor. The sound of metal striking stone split the air with a peal of thunder outside. The lass, staring at Dior with eyes as cold and wild as the storm above.
But we freed you,
Dior whispered, horrified.
I set you free. From what?
The girl asked, bewildered.
Love.
Nikita smiled, standing at Isla's back and enfolding her in his dark embrace, the lass shivering as he scattered cold kisses down her neck.
How think ye Aveline was bought so cheaply, Mademoiselle Lachance? Who think ye it was who slew those guards and opened those gates in dead of night? Ever faithful and true, my treasure here. Ever loyal since that night we met at Dunquin's Fall, and she begged to serve rather than die with the rest of them.
Dior looked into Isla's eyes, the prickling on the girl's skin as Nikita kissed her neck, the shiver in her breath as he deepened his embrace. And at last, we understood. Some join willingly, out of lust for power or darkness of heart. Others are just fools who think they'll live forever.
I am his, Isla said. I have always been his. You're ever after.
Dior shook her head, tears spilling down her cheeks.
It's him.
The girl smiled, threading fingers up through the Black Heart's hair.
We'll be together, forever. He'll reward me now, just as he did the Capitain. You fool,
Dior hissed. It doesn't work that way. He can't just... Isla struck, heartless and swift, landing a brutal kick into Dior's face. She was lifting her bloody heel for another blow when Nikita laughed, gathering the lass back up in his arms, kissing her cheek as he murmured,
"Temper, treasure, temper. We must keep the Forever King's prize, hail, and..."
A horn split the night, distant, feeble, near lost under the roar of the storm. But as Nikita tilted his head to listen, another joined it, louder, another now. The dun rang with the sound of alarm, echoing on bloody and broken stone. The Divok court glanced among themselves, murmuring and muttering, all knowing what that song meant. The Black Lion was coming, his Highlanders with him, and all hell was about to rain down upon their heads. Drunk with blood though they were, golden vials glittering about their necks, still the fear hung thick in that great hall. Silver and fire and dusk dancer claws. All manner of endings would soon be coming over those walls toward the kith of the Blackheart's court. And at the end of the night, forever is quite a prize to risk for loyalty.
"Hear me now!"
Nikita's bellow rang in the rafters, bringing stillness to the hall.
"My children, my lords."
The Blackheart raised one bloody finger to the heavens.
"The angel of death hangs in the skies, just a breath above our heads. And at Mane's right hand, the angel of fear spreads her dark wings. Just as thee, I hear the beating of Phaedra's pinions upon the wind. And lo, I tell thee, I smile. For so should it be, that those dread siblings come to bear witness this day. Should the lamb not fear the teeth of the wolf? Should the cow not quaver before the butcher's knives? And what are they, who now gather in the mud outside our door, but livestock, cattle, pigs and mongrels, sheep and hounds, who dare to bark with mortal tongues at we who are eternal?"
Growls of agreement drifted among the court, a few heads nodding.
"This kingdom is ours," Nikita roared, "carved in blood and conquest. We rule this land, this night, as we were born to. Balk not at the baying of those dogs outside, for we are the mighty, and those who dare come before our walls this day, they are the weak."
Nikita picked up Epitaph from behind his throne, raising it to the sky.
"We are the hunters, and they are the prey."
A hungry murmur rippled among the kith, fangs bared, eyes narrowed.
"We are the descendants of mighty Toliev. Our triumphs be not measured in words, but deeds. And I swear to thee, by the last drop of blood within these veins, thy deeds this day shall ring in the lamentations of the conquered for all eternity."
He snapped the golden vial away from his necklace of fangs, lifted it in toast.
"Sante, untamed."
"Sante," came the roar, 100 vials raised in answer.
"Divok!"
The shouts rang in the rafters, the clash of blades, the fury of forever unleashed. Nikita quaffed the contents of his vial in one swallow, dragged a red hand across his lips, looking once more to the prince. The wolf was hauling itself up from the bloody floor where he'd thrown it, blue eye flashing.
"I shall kiss them good night for thee, little mongrel."
Nikita pressed cold lips to Isla's, the girl smiling up at her ever after. Gesturing to the broken but still breathing bodies of Dure and Rain, he murmured,
"Take these two below and lock them tight. The Forever King shall have his prize, and the princess may yet be of use. Kiara," he called, turning to his daughter, "my golden one."
He smiled, glancing to Aaron.
"My lords and ladies," he cried, turning now to his court. Draw thy steel, and steel thy hearts. We drink the life's blood of the moon's throne this day.
He lifted epitaph, shout ringing on the walls.
Deeds, not words.
The vampires roared, and as one, the court stormed out toward the walls, the slaughter to come. Aaron bowed to his liege, Kiara scoffing and sparing Nikita a weary smile as he blew her a kiss. As all in the Hall of Plenty emptied out into the storm, Lily stood amid the carnage at the thrones, staring daggers at her brother's back as she hissed, "And what would the Count Divok have of his elder?" Nikita turned then, timeless, towering, slowly stalking up the dais to loom over his brood sister. Their eyes met, black and fathomless and ageless, more than a millennium between them. Who knew what they had seen and done together in all that time, the two oldest Divok that yet walked this dying earth? And as Prince watched on, snarling soft, Nikita lifted his hand to thumb a spatter of crimson from Lily's pale cheek.
"Thy blessing for the battle to come?" he asked softly.
Lily blinked at that, remaining mute. Nikita lifted his sister's hand, pressed ruby lips to her pale knuckles, a teasing smile curling the edge of his lips.
"Thy forgiveness for thy brash and boorish brother, who loves thee still?"
She softened then, the first breath of summer on winter's frost.
"Of course, Eif, and thy understanding," he interrupted, his voice growing soft and deadly. "Why Nikita is priori here, and why ever Lily shall dwell in his shadow."
Lily's eyes grew hard again, winter returning once more. Nikita smiled wider.
"I go now to secure thy throne, sister. Keep mine warm for me while I am gone."
And dropping Lily's hand, the black heart marched out toward the slaughter. The last Liathi paused in her tail, head bowed, fingers entwined in her lap. In her head, beyond the voices that ever whispered there, she could hear the ringing of steel, the roar of crumbling stone, the terrified screams of the dying, undying. The battle seemed so close now, the images bright in her head. So rare, these nights, with so many memories and lives and pasts clamouring inside her. She could barely recall what it had been like to be alone with her thoughts, to have one moment's silence, to know one second's peace.
"Capitaine!"
Selene glanced up as the Marquis called, his voice ringing in the dark. Jean-Francois's eyes met hers for a moment, the air between them hung thick with the promise of the coming assault. She could still taste the blood on her mouth if she tried, see Dior's red hand and blue eyes raised high to heaven before all sank into hell.
"Calling for your dogs, sinner," she asked. "Have I frightened you again?"
The historian gifted her a wan smile as the heavy door opened at his back, his thrall swords spilling into the room. The burning torches they bore were sun bright after an age in the dark, giving rise to more memories unpleasant. The silhouette of St. Eve's aflame, the taste of countless eternities washing over her tongue as her master screamed. Selene averted her eyes.
"Marquis?"
The Capitaine looked around the room, hand to blade.
"You called?"
"Beatrice, Delphine."
Jean-Francois beckoned.
"Come here, Dario."
The young thrall came forward, Nordish pale, handsome as a den full of devils. He kept his eyes downturned, sinking to his knees beside his master. Jean-Francois drew back the long locks of his hair, the thrall shivering as the vampire leaned close and whispered, bloodless lips tickling his earlobe. Dario glanced up to Selene, pupils wide, and he nodded just once. Jean-Francois took his hand, scattering kisses across his knuckles down to his wrist. The beau shivered then, lips parting, breeches straining. And with a dark smile and a soft smack to his backside, the vampire sent him on his way. Dario retreated, and with a nod of reassurance to the capitaine, the historian turned back to his tome. The thrall swords glanced around the room again, tight wound and guarded, but with nothing amiss, they bowed to their master and departed. The door thumped shut, chains slipped back into place, the gloom in the cell growing deeper.
"Please continue, Mademoiselle Castilla,"
Jean-Francois said, waving his quill. Selene narrowed her eyes.
"Is everything well?"
Jean-Francois chuckled.
"Are you honestly asking me that question?"
The historian dipped his quill, looked at her expectantly.
"Dawn approaches, Mademoiselle. I would like to see my bed before the sun rises. The Grail's plan was undone. The Highlanders on their way. All stood poised on the edge of a knife. But what of you and your brother?"
"We stood there too, sinner."
Selene bowed her head, looking down into dark waters.
"We stood there too."